Part 5 of Knowing God Deeper, by Grant Lee Morris.
Author of the NetBurst.net website.
Among the many valuable insights gained so far in our study is that it is not just in certain abilities that the infinite Lord is exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but this applies equally to his every aspect, and even to just how many different sides to him there really are. Knowing God better and better is our highest calling. It should be the adventure of a lifetime, a joyous, never-ending voyage of discovery into the very heart of the most fascinating and delightful person in the entire cosmos. We saw, however, that many of us are held back by a needless fear that if we explore too deeply, we might stumble upon a somewhat undesirable side to God, or even a character flaw. Most of us are far too respectful of God to dare word it that way, but the fear still lurks within us. And even if the fear were merely unconscious, it will slow our adventure as surely as a 100-pound backpack, unless we have the courage to stare down this enemy. So we faced this fear head-on and found that the Almighty does indeed have some aspects that would be alarming if they existed alone, but in God they are transformed and turn out to be not only highly desirable but essential for his perfection, because his every aspect is always beautifully balanced by every other side to him. The best attempts to describe the exquisite perfection of the infinitely desirable one fall at least as short as a baby's crayon drawing of her mother. Our Creator and Savior is so beautiful, delightful, and inspirational that in every way he soars infinitely beyond any other being. To know him is the greatest joy and privilege anyone can ever have, and the better we know him, the richer our lives will be. Having gained a tiny glimpse of how thrilling, fulfilling, and critically important it is to keep knowing God deeper and deeper, let's explore what it takes to achieve it. Most of the scriptures we will quote were not mentioned previously. Just a few were cited earlier in other contexts, but the goal now is to bring them together and add to them to see their practical relevance to our quest to knowing God on an ever-increasingly deeper level than we ever have before. We need the passion of the psalmist who sought to learn more of God, not out of intellectual curiosity nor to pride himself in having uncovered spiritual secrets, but because his love of God drove him to want to please God more. In the following quotations from Psalm 119, note the emphasis on obeying God.
With my whole heart, I have sought you. Don't let me wander from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you.
Teach me, Lord, the way of your statutes. I will keep them to the end.
The Lord is my portion. I promise to obey your words.
Give me understanding, that I may learn your commandments.
I have kept my feet from every evil way, that I might observe your word.
I have sworn and have confirmed it, that I will obey your righteous ordinances.
I have set my heart to perform your statutes forever.
In fact, Scripture goes as far as saying,
1 John 2. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. One who says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments, is a liar and the truth isn't in him. Disobedience distances us from God and alarmingly dulls our spiritual perception. Scripture affirms this so frequently and powerfully that it is hard to limit the quotes. James 4. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God.
1 John 2. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness even until now. He who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and doesn't know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
1 Peter 3. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Isaiah 59. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you.
1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who don't know God, that no one should take advantage of and wrong a brother or sister in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as also we forewarned you and testified. For God called us not for uncleanness, but in sanctification. Therefore, he who rejects this doesn't reject man, but God, who has also given his Holy Spirit to you.
The website has many more scriptures confirming that disobedience distances us from God and alarmingly dulls our spiritual perception. Scripture warns Christians of the danger of being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, Hebrews 3:13. In fact, sin deceives and spiritually blinds us so atrociously that Jesus had to warn that many, that's the word Jesus used, apparent Christians are sure that Jesus is their Lord and they are doing amazing things in his name, having no idea that God utterly rejects them because of their disobedience. The Lord saw them as corrupt, but I have no doubt they believed they were righteous and that the blood of Christ purified them of all sin. The extent of their deception is so astonishing that I feel the need to quote it in full, lest you think I'm exaggerating.
Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will tell me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name cast out demons and in your name do many mighty works? Then I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity.
Imagine being so deceived and knowing the Lord so little as to think God is pleased when he is actually so disgusted with you that he completely disowns you. The terrifying thing about deception is that, by definition, no one who is deceived knows he is deceived. It will always seem that someone else is deceived, never us. A deceived person discerns other people's iniquity but is either completely oblivious to his own sin or he excuses it and is certain that God likewise treats it as trivial. Yearning to know what God is like is not enough, we must yearn to be like the one we long to know. It is not enough to know with ever-increasing depth how humble, selfless, generous, faithful, dependable, gentle, kind, compassionate, forgiving, good, honest and wise God is. These qualities must shine from our lives with ever-increasing clarity. To be like God is his goal for us and it should also be our goal. How can God be in our hearts, if our hearts are the opposite of God's? What is the point of knowing that while we were his enemies, Christ laid down his life for us, if we continue to be so unlike him that we would not lay down our lives for our enemies? How can God be with us if we go our way instead of his? Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did, says NIV. In Jesus' own words, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things which I say? We might as well save our breath. Why would God reveal new things to us if we are not obeying or putting into practice what he has already revealed to us? For God to keep revealing more would not only be pointless, it would be adding to our guilt.
Psalm 25. The friendship of the Lord is with those who fear him.
That is who obey him. Genesis 18. The Lord said, will I hide from Abraham what I do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him? For I have known him, to the end that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice.
Proverbs 3. For the perverse is an abomination to the Lord, but his friendship is with the upright.
If anyone desires to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it is from God or if I am speaking from myself.
John 14. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
I revealed your name to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They have kept your word. Does God long for us to hunger and thirst for spiritual powering and status? For personal fulfillment? For human love and acclaim? For a ministry? For prosperity? No. God aches for us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Miss this and we miss everything. Without holiness no one will see the Lord, says Hebrews 12 in the NIV. Yes, the very righteousness of God is ours through faith in Christ's sacrifice, affirms 2 Corinthians 5, but unless this is being displayed in our daily lives, Christ's suffering for us was in vain. It is the pure in heart, said Jesus, who shall see God. Being content with your spiritual understanding is a sure way to stunt your spiritual growth. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find, pleaded Jesus, but know it all. See no need to keep seeking and asking. By letting fizzle their passion to keep seeking more revelation, they abort their journey of discovery, without even realizing it.
1 Corinthians 8. But if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he doesn't yet know as he ought to know.
Proverbs 26. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
Proverbs 28. One who trusts in himself is a fool.
It was to an entire church that the risen Lord declared.
Revelation 3. You say, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and don't know that you are the wretched one, miserable, poor, blind and naked.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, wrote Paul, in the context of knowing God. Ponder this.
Luke 10. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. NIV.
God resists the NIV says opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James 4. He puts obstacles in the way of those who pride themselves in their intellect or their theological knowledge, but rewards those who keep hungering and thirsting for more of him. The hungry will stoop to pick up a morsel. The proud and self-satisfied will walk over it and end up missing out on far more than they ever imagined.
1 Corinthians 1. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are dying, but to us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, I will bring the discernment of the discerning to nothing. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the lawyer of this world? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For, seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know God, it was God's good pleasure through the foolishness of the preaching to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Greeks.
1 Corinthians 3. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone thinks that he is wise among you in this world, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He has taken the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that it is worthless. Therefore, let no one boast in men. Remaining aware of our need to know God better is an important aspect of humility, and humbling ourselves is a prerequisite to knowing God. As already quoted,
Isaiah 57. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite.
In the next session we will unpack still more ways to know God better.